Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 11th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you give, for all that you taught us, and we look forward with anticipation to that which you have for us today. We ask that you would continue to teach us so that we might learn and walk according to the path that you have provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is hospitality. September 11th, 2021, the subject again, hospitality. And we're still working from Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published 1889. What do the scriptures say concerning hospitality? 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And also Romans 12, verses 10 through 13 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, distributed to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Is a mere expression of good wishes sufficient? James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye gave them not those things which are needed to the body, what doth it profit?" When should we exercise hospitality? Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." What encouragement is given to entertain strangers? First, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And of course, you're also asked to take a look at Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, or Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. What blessings are promised those who do such work? Proverbs 11 and verse 25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." That's Proverbs 11 and verse 25. And you should also take a look at 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16. In the book The Adventist Home, in chapter 72, under the heading Hospitality, beginning at page 445 and paragraph 1, it says this: "The Bible lays much stress upon the practice of hospitality. Not only does it enjoin hospitality as a duty, but it presents many beautiful pictures of the exercise of the grace and the blessings which it brings. Foremost among these is the experience of Abraham. These acts of courtesy, God thought of sufficient importance to record in His Word. And more than 1,000 years later, they were referred to by an inspired apostle. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. The privilege granted Abraham and Lot is not denied to us. By showing hospitality to God's children, we, too, may receive His angels into our dwellings. Even in our day, angels in human form enter the homes of men and are entertained by them. And Christians who live in the light of God's countenance are always accompanied by unseen angels. And these holy beings leave behind them a blessing in our homes." A lover of hospitality is among the specifications given by the Holy Spirit as marking one who is to bear responsibility in the church. And to the whole church is given the injunction, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." These admonitions have been strangely neglected, even among those who profess to be Christians. True hospitality is a little exercised. among our own people, the opportunity of showing hospitality is not regarded as it should be, as a privilege and a blessing. There is altogether the little sociability, too little of a disposition to make room for two or three more at the family board without embarrassment or parade. I've heard many excuse themselves from inviting to their homes and hearts the saints of God. Why, I have nothing prepared. I have nothing cooked. They must go to some other place. And at that place, there may be some other excuse invented for not receiving those who need hospitality. And the feeling of the visitors are deeply grieved, and they leave with unpleasant impressions in regard to the hospitality of these professed brethren and sisters. If you have no bread, sister, imitate the case brought to the view in the Bible. Go to your neighbor and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." We have not an example of the lack of bread ever being made an excuse to refuse entrance to an applicant. When Elijah came to the widow of Zarephath, she shared her morsel with the prophet of God, and he wrought a miracle and caused that in that act of making a home for his servant and sharing her morsel with him, she herself was sustained and her life and that of her son preserved. Thus will it prove in the case of many, if they do this cheerfully for the glory of God. Some plead their poor health. They would love to do it if they had strength. Such have so long shut themselves up to themselves and thought so much of their own poor feeling and talked so much of their own sufferings and trials and afflictions that it is their present truth. They can think of no one but self, however much others may be in need of sympathy and assistance. You who are suffering with poor health, there is a remedy for you. If thou clothe the naked and bring the poor that are cast out to thy house and deal thy bread to the hungry, then shall thy light break forth in the morning and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Doing good is an excellent remedy for disease. Those who engage in the work are invited to call upon God, and He has pledged Himself to answer them. Their souls shall be satisfied in drought, and they shall be like a watered garden whose water faileth not. So often blessings are lost because of selfishness. God is pleased with the selfish interest. God is displeased with the selfish interest so often manifested for so many and by so many. Every family that cherishes this spirit needs to be converted by the pure principles exemplified in the life of Christ. Those who shut themselves up within themselves, who are unwilling to draw upon to entertain visitors, lose many blessings. Angels are waiting to see if we embrace opportunities within our reach of doing good, waiting to see if we will bless others, that they in their turn may bless us. The Lord Himself has made us to differ, some poor, some rich, some afflicted, that all may have an opportunity to develop character. The poor are purposely permitted to be thus of God, that we may be tested and proved and develop what is in our heart. When the spirit of hospitality dies, the heart becomes palsied with selfishness. Our social entertainments should not be governed by the dictates of worldly custom, but by the spirit of Christ, the teaching of His word. The Israelites, in all their festivities, included the poor, the stranger, and the Levite, who were both the assistant of the priest in the sanctuary and a religious teacher and missionary. These were regarded as the guests of the people, to share their hospitality on all occasions of social and religious rejoicing, and to be tenderly cared for in sickness or in need. It is such as these whom we should make welcome to our homes. How much such a welcome might do to cheer and encourage the missionary nurse or the teacher, the care-burdened, hard-working mother, or the feeble and aged, so often without a home and struggling with poverty and many discouragements. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, Christ says, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and those shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for they shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. These are guests whom it will lay on you no great burden to receive. You will not need to provide for them elaborate or expensive entertainment. You will need to make no effort at display. The warmth of a genial welcome, a place at your fireside, a seat at your home table, the privilege of sharing the blessings of the hour of prayer, would to many of these be like a glimpse of heaven. Our sympathies are to overflow the boundaries of self and the enclosure of family walls. There are precious opportunities for those who will make their homes a blessing to others. Social influence is a wonderful power. We can use it, if we will, as a means of helping those about us. Our homes should be a place of refuge for the tempted youth. Many there are who stand at the parting of the ways. Every influence, every impression is determining the choice that shapes their destiny both here and hereafter. Evil invites them. Its resorts are made bright and attractive. They have a welcome for every comer. All about us are youth who have no home and many whose homes have no helpful, uplifting power, and the youth drifts into evil. They are going down to ruin within the very shadow of our own doors. These youth need a hand stretched out to them in sympathy, kind words simply spoken, like attentions simply bestowed, will sweep away the clouds of temptation which gather over the soul. The true expression of heaven-born sympathy has power to open the door of hearts that need the fragrance of Christ-like words and the simple, delicate touch of the Spirit of Christ's love. If we would show an interest in the youth, invite them to our homes and surround them with cheerful, helpful influences, there are many who would gladly turn from steps into the upward path. When visitors come, as they frequently will, they should not be allowed to absorb all the time and attention of the mother. Her children's temporal and spiritual welfare should come first. Time should not be used in preparing rich cakes and pies and unhealthful viands for the table. These are an extra expense, and many cannot afford it. But the greater evil is in the example. Let the simplicity of the family be preserved. Do not try to give the impression that you can sustain a style of living which is really beyond your means. Do not try to appear what you cannot, either in your table preparations or in your manners. While you should treat your visitors kindly and make them feel at home, you should ever remember that you are a teacher to the little ones God has given you. They are watching you, and no course of yours should they direct their feet in the wrong way. Be to your visitors just what you are to your family every day, pleasant, considerate, and courteous. In this way, all can be educators, an example of good works. They testify that there is something more essential than to keep the mind on what they shall eat and drink, and wherewithal they shall be clothed. We would be much happier and more useful if our home life and social intercourse were governed by the meekness and simplicity of Christ. Instead of toiling for display to excite the admiration of the enemy and visitors, we should endeavor to make all around us happy by our cheerfulness, our sympathy, and our love. Let visitors see that we are striving to conform to the will of Christ. Let them see in us, even though our lot is humble, a spirit of content and gratitude. The very atmosphere of a truly Christian home is that of peace and restfulness. Such an example will not be without effect. Christ keeps an account of every expense incurred in entertaining for his sake. He supplies all that is necessary for this work. Those who, for Christ's sake, entertain their brethren doing their best to make all comfortable, the visit profitable, both to their guests and to themselves, are recorded in heaven as worthy of special blessings. When surrounded by the hungry multitude beside the sea, Christ has given in his own life a lesson of hospitality. He did not send them unrefreshed to their homes. He said to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat," Matthew 14 and verse 16. And by an act of creative power, he supplied food sufficient to satisfy their need. Yet how simple was the food provided? There were no luxuries. He who had all the resources of heaven at his command could have spread for a people a rich repast, but he supplied only that which would suffice for their need, that which was the daily food of the fisherfolk about them. If men were today simple in their habits, living in harmony with nature's laws, there would be an abundant supply of all the needs of the human family. There would be fewer imaginary wants and more opportunity to work in God's ways. Poverty need not shut us out from showing hospitality. We are to impart what we have. There are those who struggle for a livelihood and who have great difficulty in making their income meet their necessities. But they love Jesus in the person of his saints and are ready to show hospitality to believers and unbelievers, trying to make their visits profitable. At the family board and the family altar, the guests are made welcome. The season of prayer makes its impression on those who receive entertainment, and even one visit may mean the saving of a soul from death. For this work, the Lord makes a reckoning, saying, "I will repay." Wake up, brethren and sisters. Do not be afraid of good works. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Do not wait to be told your duty. Open your eyes and see who are around you. Make yourselves acquainted with the helpless, the afflicted, and needy. Hide not yourselves from them, and seek not to shut out their needs. Who gives the proof mentioned in James of possessing pure religion, untainted with selfishness or corruption? Who are anxious to do all in their power to aid in the great plan of salvation? This is what God is calling you to do today: to stand with him, to minister to those who are around you, to demonstrate your hospitality, to supply the needs of those who are in need, and also to share with them the character that he has placed in you, the kindness and the calmness, the smile, the pleasantness, the entire personality of Christ must accompany that which you share, so that they will know from whom it comes and who is the source of all kindness. Today God is calling you. He's calling me. We do not need to measure that which we have, simply to share that which we have. And if in sharing that which we have cut down on that which we will be able to absorb, then God has promised to repay. He has promised to give us that which we lack simply because we shared it with someone else. Today is an opportunity for you to turn from the path that you have been following and to do the things that God would have you do. The word hospitality means caring. It means showing love. It means embracing. It means giving an opportunity to those who have no opportunity, so that they may feel the affection of those who are around them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that you have set. We thank you so much for all that you continue to do for us. And we ask today that you would help us to practice the concept of hospitality. so that the things that we do and the attitudes that we present will be representative of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, September the 11th, 2021.